Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Hello, I'm Jeremy. That is SP3. This is FMC coming to you live on a Friday. It's Friday morning coffee again. SP3 back in the original spot. Here we go. It is a huge day in the world of FMC because you know what I'm going to do, SP3. You asked for it.
Yep.
I'm going to do it. I feel bad. You know, yesterday I was very busy. I was driving all day yesterday, and I didn't have time to make my amends with people. So I'm going to do it right now. I apologize to the Brooklyn Nets that you had to go through 3 years of this bullshit and ended up with Spencer Dinwiddie at the end of all of it. I'm sorry, Brooklyn Nets fans. You didn't do anything wrong. You thought that you were going to get Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving and you were going to win multiple titles. And instead, they didn't even play a full season together in 3 years. They torched the building. Kyrie Irving came in there, placed multiple bombs in that building, cut all the wires so they would go off sooner, left, watched the thing explode, and then said, I'm happy Kevin Durant got out of there. Good for him that Kevin Durant was able to get out of that building where all those bombs went off. Good. That's good. That's really good for Kevin Durant. Poor Brooklyn Nets fans, SP3. I know you gotta be commiserating as well. Like, it's not the Nets deserve better, right?
I'm kind of ashamed by your behavior here because, first of all, I think it's wrong that the title of today's show is like Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook traded and NBA trade deadline review when it should be
factual title.
It should be the factual title should be SP3 deserves all the apologies.
You're that's not going to play well on SEO. The SEO ain't going to hit well on SEO. SP3 deserves all the apologies.
You were lucky I wasn't able to direct message you the clips. The clips, the documented footage of SP3 being correct. When everyone, not just you, Jeremy, on screen with me, everyone in the chat tried to deny my greatness, my intelligence, my knowledge of the game one and two of the situation going on with the Brooklyn Nets. I told y'all what, on like the first or second episode of this series, that I had family on the Brooklyn Nets, that Kyrie Irving is a part of my family. And y'all denied me. Y'all tried to say I was wrong. I went on Tuesday's show and I said, if you're going to speed up the process, because trading Kyrie Irving was basically guaranteeing the Nets were going to have to trade Kevin Durant. Whether you guys believed it or not, I heard people like everything we knew, they were trying to salvage the situation. No, they were not. because I said it from the second episode. Not only did I tell y'all that my family was Kyrie Irving, I told y'all that KD would not be on the Nets without Kyrie. Kyrie literally talked him into going to Brooklyn. KD was very adamant. He wanted to go to Knicks after leaving the Golden State Warriors. I'll pull back the curtain even more. He wanted to go to the Knicks, but he wanted to go with another superstar. And that other superstar was Kyrie Irving, who talked him into going to the Brooklyn Nets. Let's establish a whole new, let's make Brooklyn the team to be in New York. They got two max contracts. Let's go there. So I knew once Kyrie Irving was traded to the Dallas Mavericks, it was a wrap. It was like Saran, because it was a wrap for the Brooklyn Nets. It was over. It was over. And, you know, we could talk and talk about, oh, Brooklyn Nets fan, we feel bad for him. We feel bad about all the bombs. That is a Mickey Mouse organization, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, that's a Mickey Mouse organization run by a guy, Joe Asahi Moonsault, who always, you know, he had a personal vendetta against Kyrie Irving. And then he wouldn't trade him to where he wanted to go. And then he turns around and sends Kevin Durant to the place that he wanted to go. And then you got Brian Windhorst, very intelligent man who puts all the signs together. You got Stephen A. Smith, one of the faces of ESPN. You had Skip Bayless, Shannon Sharp, all the NBA analysts. Chris Broussard agreed with Brian Windhorst as well, telling you what SP3 tried to tell you all on Tuesday was that if you are going to nuke the organization by trading Kyrie Irving, and KD is definitely, KD asked for a trade as soon as Kyrie asked for a trade in the offseason, because he knew if Kyrie ain't playing in Brooklyn, I sure as hell ain't playing in Brooklyn. And I tried to reiterate that. Reiterate. Yes, I'm losing big words today. It's a Friday morning. Friday morning coffee. Reiterate that he was not staying. That trading Kyrie Irving, you were not going to keep Kevin Durant. You were not going to salvage anything. Yet y'all didn't listen to me. Y'all told me I was wrong. Y'all told me, oh no, the Laker trade, they shouldn't be making that. But each and every NBA analyst has said this week that, yeah, they should have probably took that Lakers trade, because two is better than one. My whole basis of argument for the trades of the trade to Dallas and the trade to the Lakers was two. It was all about draft picks. It didn't matter the people attached to it, because evidently you trade Russell Westbrook and he's going to get a freaking buyout. He was going to get a buyout with Brooklyn as well. It did not matter. All that nonsense y'all was spewing back at me, it did not matter. I was right. I was right. I want people to start off the hashtag SP3 was right. There was one thing. There were three things in life that are guaranteed: death, taxes, and SP3 is right. Oh my God. Why won't people listen to me? Why won't people listen to me? I'm not just spewing nonsense. It's like 30% nonsense, but 70% of the time, I'm right.
I will be kind to you, SP3. You were right. You were right that the Nets were going to speed up the process. We're going to trade Kevin Durant, that he wasn't going to want to stay past this season. The Nets clearly thought otherwise, and they should have listened to you. If anything, they should have listened to you. And you could have told them, hey, take a different trade. I will say this, though. The Dallas trade was still better than the Lakers trade. And here's why.
But every NBA analyst says otherwise, ladies and gentlemen.
No, I haven't heard that. Granted, I didn't listen to a lot yesterday.
Because it's off balance. It's off balance. They have so many wings. They have no balance in their roster.
Who cares?
All they're doing is collecting draft picks. Two is better than one.
Okay, well, listen. Here's why. That's short-term thinking, though. That's short-term thinking of, oh, let's get two Lakers picks instead of one Dallas pick. You can't trade Dinwiddie for some draft picks. You can't trade Finney Smith for some draft picks. You can't trade other people on your roster for some draft picks. You can. It's why pigeonhole yourself to two Lakers draft picks, though? Why pigeonhole yourself to those two draft picks and then buy out? Because
we ain't going to be good probably in 2027, 2029. Those are going to be some valuable, unprotected draft picks.
The Lakers aren't going to be good. They're not going to sign a bunch of free agents. Everybody wants to come to Los Angeles, right?
Yes.
They're better off trying to get. Yeah, so they are probably going to sign some people. So why pigeonhole yourself to Lakers draft picks? Trade guys elsewhere. See what you can do. The Nets still don't have their draft picks. They have no incentive to try to tank out either. They still need to remain a little bit competitive so their draft picks aren't so terrible to where they're going to Houston, and Houston's taking their place. They need to remain a little bit competitive. You do the Lakers trade and then trade Durant, you remain less competitive. Dinwiddie and Dorian Finney-Smith help you remain at least a little bit competitive after all of this. Where Russell Westbrook, you're going to buy him out.
Yeah. They're going to buy him out anyway. They have an unbalanced roster.
But they're not buying out Dinwiddie and Finney-Smith.
They have too many wings now. Everybody said it. Everybody said it.
You can still play these guys.
So
figure it out. Figure out in the offseason. Who cares if they have too many wings? Figure that out in the offseason. You need to remain competitive this season so your draft pick this season isn't as bad, because you don't have your draft pick this season. No, it was still a good trade to take the Mavericks trade. And I do believe the Nets were trying to use some draft picks and maybe go after Ananobi or Siakam or whoever. I do believe they tried to do that. And then they were just rebuffed. I don't know what the Raptors are doing, by the way. The Raptors are just content with, hey, let's be a 7 seed and hope for the best here. I don't know what they're doing. But I think they were trying to make it worthwhile for Durant. And then Durant probably told him, like, nah, get me the fuck out of here. And so they traded him to...
But I tried to tell y'all this. Y'all didn't want to listen to me. I know
they were right in trying. They weren't supposed to try.
Trading Kyrie, he was never going to stay. He only came to Brooklyn because of Kyrie. He's not going to stay without Kyrie.
They should have still tried, and they did try. And then once they realized it wasn't going to happen, cool, okay, go move them to Phoenix. See, Phil says what I'm saying is the wings are assets that they can trade. If you take Russ, you get two draft picks.
Unbalanced roster.
Who cares if their roster is unbalanced?
They're going to trade these guys in the offseason? Congratulations. Yes. You're just nuking the whole season when they're a fifth seed.
What do you mean they're nuking the whole season? They were nuking the season if they traded for Russell Westbrook.
No. At least you got...
Oh, no. They were buying him out, SP3. He wasn't going to be on the roster.
Hey, you would have had... If they didn't buy out and they would have trade... If they were going to trade KD anyway, they could have kept Russell Westbrook, and it would have been like the OKC Thunder of 2017. Russell Westbrook doing what the hell he wants to do.
You don't even believe this was a good idea. You just said they were going to buy him out. No, they were smart to take the Mavericks trade instead of the two draft picks from the Lakers.
Dorian Finney-Smith, he's going to get them 2 second-round picks. If Bones Highland went for 2 second-round picks, you're not getting a first-round pick with Dorian Finney-Smith.
You're not getting a first-round pick for Spencer Dinwiddie?
I don't think they're trading Spencer Dinwiddie this offseason.
Okay, you take another wing. You're not getting a first-round pick for potentially one of the other wings because you want to keep Dinwiddie?
They're not getting a first-round pick for Dorian.
The market's going to be different. The market's going to be much, much different in the offseason than it is at the trade deadline. And look, I like Bones Highland. I would have taken that flyer on Bones Highland. I think that's good. Dorian Finney-Smith, more valued around the league because of the skill set he has. Bones Highland, great chucker, great heat check guy. Dorian Finney-Smith, 3-and-D guy, much more valuable than, hey, here's a guy who's going to take a bunch of bad shots and maybe can drop 20, but plays no defense. Bones Highland plays zero defense. No. Finney-Smith, much more valuable as a 3-and-D guy. You can get maybe a protected.
You can get 3 second-round picks.
Those second-round picks, though, those are apparently just the most valuable things in the world because we saw about 8 million of them get traded yesterday. So second-round picks are very valuable at this point.
And sixth graders, 2009, 2029 picks are very valuable now.
This is the thing that people also got to understand is like, okay, oh, what are all these second round picks? Like, why are you trading for them? You see why second round picks are so valuable, because if you got 20 of them when you need to go after one of these players you want to go after. If you got these second round picks, you can start offloading them. So if the Nets got the all of these second round picks, if they find a guy like, oh, this guy complements our roster, we can offload all these second round picks. Let's not act like second round picks don't have some value here. They got value in trades. First round picks got value in finding talent in the draft. Second round picks got value in trade. So they're still valuable. You get 2 second-round picks for Dorian Finney-Smith, that's fine. That's value later down the line. Those 2 second-round picks could be a guy who's just as good as somebody who might be the 23rd pick in the draft.
Man, they could have kept Russell Westbrook.
You are just being...
Put up a triple-double for this Brooklyn Nets team, keep them maybe in a play-in position, and then they could have offloaded all $47 million that he's making this year at the offseason, and they would have had cap flexibility for this offseason.
They have cap flexibility this offseason, though.
Not if you have... So you have Spencer Dinwiddie still on the books.
They got they're off Durant's contract. They got better contract with Bridges. Who is... And honestly, cap flexibility. What good is this going to do you when nobody's going to end up signing with this team after the way you just treated Kyrie and the dumpster fire you
are?
Oh, no.
They're better off going back to New Jersey. They should see if the Meadowlands is available, and they should definitely go over there. I don't really care about that part. That was just the additional thing that I'm right about. I'm happy that you admitted that I was right about them not salvaging.
You care because the Lakers didn't get Kyrie. That's why you're still mad.
No,
the
Lakers didn't get Kyrie. Yeah, that's a little added thing that I was right about. The main thing I was right about was they weren't salvaging anything with Kevin Durant on the Brooklyn Nets. And that's been proven that I'm right. So I don't care. Leland, whatever your name is, if you want to say I'm wrong, their proof is in the pudding. You can watch Tuesday's show and see what's happened this week. SP3 was right. Everyone else was wrong. Congratulations to SP3. Let's move on. And I want to talk about this KD trade more in depth because, man, oh, man. Phoenix Suns hit the jackpot.
They did.
They gave away nothing. Nothing.
I like Mikal Bridges. I think Mikal Bridges is very good. He's obviously not Kevin Durant. Jay Crowder wasn't playing. And then Jay Crowder, of course, he got rerouted for 5 second-round picks. So they got even more second-round picks out of this just for trading off Jay Crowder. And then Cam Thomas. I don't think Cam Thomas is bad either. Like, these are nice players, but I don't think they could give up Ayton because of he just signed in the offseason. I think in the offseason they could have included Ayton in the Durant deal. And then because he signed the contract, though, they couldn't give him up in this deal. So they couldn't even get DeAndre Ayton out of this, which that's a guy you would think you would want out of this deal. And they couldn't get that done. But look, man, the Suns got Kevin Durant. They got a healthy team that is going to be Chris Paul, who these choke memes, you better hope they come true, because Chris Paul is looking like in a real good position right now
with Kevin Durant. You're gonna finally win a championship if you can get, you know, KD is hurt right now. Devin Booker has dealt with injuries this season. Ayton is averaging the most points that he's averaged in his career. He's averaging 19 points per game. You got Chris Paul, who's had dealt with his injuries. If they stay healthy in April, May, June, I think it's no question the Suns is the team to beat. I think it's gonna be a great series if it comes down to the Suns and the Nuggets. The Nuggets have the chemistry, and they had a huge pickup with getting Thomas Bryant. They needed help in the front court with Jokic, and he's a guy that can play with Jokic. You could play Jokic at the 4 and Bryant at the 5. But yeah, I think the Suns is the team to beat if KD's healthy come April.
It's all gonna come down to health, because you look at that roster: Kevin Durant, Chris Paul, Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton. That's a big four that it's a matchup disadvantage for every team they're going against. They're gonna run so many like Kevin Durant, Chris Paul, like pick and rolls, pick and pops. They're going to just destroy teams with that. If Chris Paul gets hurt, that could be an issue, because Chris Paul is the engine that kind of keeps everything. Devin Booker's become a really good playmaker. and everything. But Chris Paul feels like the glue guy on the court, just with the way he's able to get everybody in the right spot. And if Durant gets hurt, then that becomes a much bigger issue, because then you're looking at a Suns team that wasn't great for most of this season. The Booker injury really kind of crippled them. So you're looking at a Suns team that is like good, but without Bridges, and now without Cam Johnson, and then without Jay Crowder. So like a Kevin Durant injury really derails them. A Chris Paul injury, I think, derails them a little bit. Ayton and Booker, I think they can pretty much survive one of those two. Obviously, if they lose two, it's a different story. But if healthy,
He's like the perfect guy to fit on this team, because as we've seen with KD and Golden State, he does not need the ball. Like,
no, Kevin Durant is one of the guys, like, he's the most seamless fit on any team. And the Suns, they run like just very traditional with, you know, Chris Paul at the helm. They run just very traditional like offense and stuff. Durant's going to come off pin downs. He's going to get his little touches in the high post and everything. Again, he's going to run like a lot of pick and roll stuff with Chris Paul, a lot of pick and pop stuff. It's going to look unfair on some nights when they're cooking. It's going to look very unfair.
Yeah, I think the only thing that will stop them, if they're not able to develop, you know, enough chemistry with, depending on when Kevin Durant comes back from this injury, and that might be the only thing that stops them from winning the championship this season. But you have KD on the contract after the season, so yeah. this is a long-term thing. So I think they're the favorite to win the 2024 championship more than 2023, but I think they definitely make it to the conference finals if Kevin Durant is healthy and Chris Paul doesn't have another playoff injury, because that is another thing that seems to be a common thing with Choke P3 is him getting injured in the playoffs when it really matters.
Matt Payne does mention that, yes, Phoenix got Thunder legend Darius Bazley as well. I'm happy that Bazley goes to a team that, I mean, I guess he'll be used a little bit. I don't know what the ceiling is on Bazley. He didn't play a lot this year when it felt like he should have played a little bit more. He's got a good relationship with Chris Paul. I know in the one season that Paul was in OKC, he got along well with Bazley and coached him up a lot. So I think it'll be a good situation for Bazley there. Well, we'll see. I don't know how much he's going to play in Phoenix, though. They got roster spots open after some of these trades. TJ Warren's he was part of the Durant deal. Like, he's injury prone, but when he's out there, he can still do some things and add some scoring there. The buyout market, they might pick up some guys. They still got like Torrey Craig and Cam Payne and stuff. Like, they still, like, in the playoffs, you're only playing 8-9 guys anyway. So it's not like you need 12 guys on your team. You just need a strong 8, maybe 9, and you'll be okay. It's when, if an injury does happen, that's when things become a little dicey. But that is that's the case for any team. Phoenix is the favorite. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Phoenix is 100% the favorite with this roster, assuming all health is equal. The Nuggets, I do like them getting Thomas Bryant, because now they don't have to play DeAndre Ayton behind Jokic. That's a good pickup. I thought maybe they could get more for Bones, but market doesn't seem to be there. Wasn't there, so they only got 2 seconds out of that. So, I mean, what can you do there? But Bones wasn't playing. It's just really opening up a roster spot. I don't know if they'll go after anybody in the buyout market or anything like that. I feel like the Nuggets, based on what they did, were just, they knew they needed help behind Jokic. And then otherwise they're just content with trying to ride out with chemistry and everything. I don't know if they tried to make a bigger swing, if it was possible to pull anything out of somebody else. Like, I thought Jay Crowder would be a nice pickup for them, but, you know, the Bucks had been linked to him all season. I thought if they could somehow swing and get Ananobi, that would be huge. But it seemed like Ananobi, all those Toronto guys, the price on them seemed to be really high. So
it seems like they really weren't sellers. We had pegged them as like one of the biggest sellers for this trade deadline, and they really weren't that. But I like the Bucks picking up Jay Crowder. I think that was a nice little acquisition, because they're finally getting to health. You know, Chris Middleton has finally come back. That's another team that really depends on their health. But I, with the Suns lineup, I think the only teams that can beat them in a 7-game series, even if they're healthy, is right now, because of chemistry, the Nuggets, the Bucks, and the Celtics. So there's only one team in the West that I think can beat them, and that's the Nuggets based on that. But hey, That's like the worst possible NBA Western Conference Finals, in my opinion, in my head, with two people that I've hated on for this whole duration of doing FMC, Choke P3, and the second place MVP getter, but two-time MVP, Nikola Jokic, in the Western Conference Final. Oh, joy. But where I did get joy is my Los Angeles Lakers being the second best team of the trade deadline in what we were able to do. First addition by subtraction, subtraction by addition, or whatever it goes.
It's addition by subtraction.
I said it right the first time.
Yes, you said it right the first time. Then you tried to overcorrect and you said it wrong.
Russell Westbrook getting rid of him. It needed to happen. It needed to happen. It happened. I was happy. But the load that we got back, oh, man, I did not expect that. I did not expect us to get this much talent for just one of those first-round picks. Just one of them. We traded a high schooler. We didn't even have to trade the sixth grader. We didn't trade the sixth grader. We traded a protected 2027. So if we are not good in 2027 and we're in the top four, we still get to keep it. So, man, Rob Pelinka put in that work. He put in that work, like when he negotiated Kobe's contract when he was past his prime and he made all that money. He put in that work again. Russell Westbrook getting traded, Damian Jones, Juan T.A., and the Lakers protected 2027 pick to we got rid of that. We sent that to the Jazz, and we got back D'Angelo Russell, who got nobody to snitch on this time. So this is good. This is good stuff. He's matured a little as well. We got Jared Vanderbilt. So we got some help in the front court. And we got Malik Beasley. And don't worry, folks. Don't worry about Scottie Pippen Jr. Because LeBron James can talk to him and talk to him how it feels to be on a team with someone that's piping their moms. Like, LeBron can teach him how to deal with that. He could be like, you know, I had to deal with Delonte West. Now I call him stepdaddy. So you can deal with the fact that Malik Beasley is on the Los Angeles Lakers. It's going to be all right, Scottie Pippen Jr. And then the cherry on top, we traded Patrick Beverley.
Oh, that was
another
hilarious
addition by subtraction. We traded Patrick Beverley after he sent out the tweet getting all hyped that D'Lo was back on the team with them. He was like, oh, we get back. We going to be the Minnesota Timberwolves of the Pacific. But no, we got rid of him, and we got Mo Bamba, who's the only 50 and 40 guy on our team now. Like, this is a refreshed roster. I feel confident in this roster. I wish we had more games in this season. I'll be a lot more confident then. But we can salvage this season, these last 25, 26 games of the season with this lineup.
I'm going to talk about the Lakers in a second. I mean, we'll talk about it. I want to bring up this comment from Phil. Some nasty energy around the Lakers this week. Calling Russ a vampire was crazy. Absolutely crazy. And now the media hit is going to be even worse on Russell Westbrook now that he's actually gone. The media hit was already bad on him with the narrative surrounding Russell Westbrook with everything.
You know who got some nasty energy? The Chicago Bulls, who did jack and shit in this trade deadline. That's who got some nasty energy. And I ain't read any of your comments, Phil, because I ain't see. I apologize, SP3, for being wrong about the Nets salvaging anything with Kevin Durant. Because until I see that, I ain't reading nothing you say. And if you say, I want you to admit, I ain't admitting nothing. You admit, you apologize. You was wrong. I was right about that.
But I keep pulling Phil's comments up on screen, so you have to read them. People are going to blame Russell Westbrook for a lot of things. And there is some blame Russell Westbrook deserves, especially when, like, the on the court fit wasn't good. It was never going to be good. Sometimes the energy around him, Russ has always run hot and cold with stuff. Like, even in his best days, Russ was running hot and cold. Like, that's just how it is with him. How do y'all expect this man to act sometimes when you have LeBron James, who was the one who wanted Westbrook? He was the one who said, yeah, let's go do the Russ deal. Let's get Russ. And then in the offseason, after 1 year with Russ, is publicly saying, oh, go get Kyrie. Because if you get Kyrie, you got to trade Russell Westbrook. LeBron was throwing this man under the bus at every single turn. Even this past week during the Kyrie trades, like, go get Kyrie, go get Kyrie. How is Russell Westbrook supposed to feel about that when his teammate is basically saying, go trade this guy because I want this guy who I've won with to come in here? I don't blame Russ for, you know, sulking around a little bit when it comes to this stuff, because it was clear he never was valued and wanted by this team. Again, he had some issues. I get that. I get the on the court wasn't good. It was never going to be good. Everyone knew that. But that is also LeBron's fault for being like, oh, Russ can come in and it'll all be fine. LeBron didn't sacrifice that much when it came to this team. Russ at least was willing to come off the bench and give that a try and everything. And for look, it worked at sometimes, and then sometimes it didn't work. Russ, I watched that the Thunder and the Lakers game where LeBron broke the record and everybody was happy for him. And good job, you still lost to the Oklahoma City Thunder. Russell Westbrook was the one out there trying. LeBron was getting his points and everything. I don't know what Anthony Davis was doing. Westbrook was at the very end when they went down like 10 and LeBron checked out with his foot injury. Russ was still out there competing to try to win the game. Sometimes Russ's competitiveness gets the worst of him and he makes mistakes. That's just who Russell Westbrook is. Like, it just, I as a Thunder fan, I lived with that when he was at his best and affecting the game in the best ways. He still affects the game in like not so great ways. But the man was thrown under the bus by his teammate, by the biggest star in the league, by one of the greatest players of all time, who did not support him at any turn and basically said, trade this man, get me somebody else on this team. I don't blame Russ for being angry about this stuff. All of that said, the Lakers made a very good deal to get what they got out of this. D'Angelo Russell, I'll talk about him in a second. Malik Beasley is good, good shooter. Surrounding LeBron with shooters is always a good idea. Vanderbilt, good defensive player, gives a little bit of flexibility with Anthony Davis. I thought the Thomas Bryant deal was weird at first because
Mo Bamba.
Yes. Yeah. Because Anthony Davis doesn't like playing the five. So it's like, oh, why are you trading your traditional five? Is Davis going to actually play the five? And then a little while later, they did the Mo Bamba deal. And it's like, okay, well, now this makes a little bit more sense. So they still got a center in his place. So that was a good deal. Lakers did great at the trade deadline. They got off Westbrook, which there's a lot of things that went wrong there. But overall, their roster is better balanced. They got the right guys for a LeBron James, Anthony Davis team. Now it can be those two leading the charge and everybody else falls into place around them. They got actual depth, actual guys who fit roles. Whereas before they had no real depth, they just had a bunch of mixed match players who didn't understand what they were doing. The Lakers did a really good job. Is it too little too late? Is going to be the question with the Lakers, because they lost. Like, they didn't have LeBron last night. I get it. They lost last night to the Bucks. They can't afford to just throw away games at this point. And, like, they just can't. There's not enough time. There's not a lot of time left in the season. You got to develop chemistry very quickly with this team. And you just got to get into a play-in game. Like, that's all you got to make. You make the play-in, and then you see what happens from there. I'll take my chances with LeBron James and Anthony Davis in a play-in game, especially against these other teams in the West that ain't that great. But you still got to surpass some teams to make this play-in game, and you ain't got a lot of time left to do it.
I 100% agree with what you're saying. I will say about Russell Westbrook, I commend Russell Westbrook for how he played this season. He sacrificed a lot by coming off the bench and accepting that role. You know, I was a big supporter of that move. You know, I said that Russell Westbrook would be a candidate for Sixth Man of the Year. And at times it looked like he could be because he was playing very strong off the bench. But, I mean, we can't act like LeBron was never a supporter of Russell Westbrook when you also put in mind that he wanted to have him. Y'all are contradicting yourself when y'all make it sound like he never wanted him.
He
basically pushed for the trade to happen last season. He was a supporter of Russell Westbrook to the media all last season. It was this season that he was basically like, oh no, it's not working. Let's ruin shop. I think after how we started the season, I think LeBron was over it and he was already pushing.
You don't have to say these things publicly. You don't have to
come out
and publicly say, I don't agree with that. I want Kyrie, and then passive aggressively tweet about everything. And then the media.
I don't agree with that at all. Trust me, I don't agree with that at all. And I think that a lot of people get confused with where I stand. I'm a Laker fan. I am not a LeBron fan. And I think that a lot of people, Phil Lindsay being number one on that list, confuse the fact that I'm a Laker fan and not a LeBron James fan. LeBron just happens to be the best player on my team. So no, I'm not going to support everything LeBron does like a Bron sexual would. I don't do that. I don't will not do that at all. And I don't agree with how he handled this whole Russell Westbrook situation when it's all your fault. Everyone got the blame for this Russell Westbrook situation except for LeBron James. Anthony Davis got pinned to it. Oh, he also wanted Westbrook. No, he basically got asked the question and said he supported it because his best friend pushed for it. Then Rob Pelinka. Oh, you put together a horrible roster. Well, it's only a horrible roster because he had to trade a good roster to get Russell Westbrook. Like everyone got the blame except for LeBron James, and I don't like that at all. I think that's wrong. I think that LeBron deserves most of the blame for this whole Russell Westbrook era going wrong because he 100% pushed for this trade. He 100% made this happen, and the GM has been freaking awful at that job since like 2018 when the Cleveland Cavaliers traded all their picks and all that stuff and signed up Derrick Rose and Dwayne Wade. He's been awful at this GM status since the last couple of seasons in Cleveland all the way to coming to the Lakers. The only move that he pushed for that I accepted and I was 100% behind was Anthony Davis. Did I think that we needed to trade the load that we did to get Anthony Davis? No, because we didn't really need to make that trade when Anthony Davis a year later was going to be a free agent. It's the same thing that I said 10 years ago with the Carmelo Anthony trade to the New York Knicks. You did not need to make that trade for the load when Carmelo Anthony was very established. He was going to the Knicks in the offseason when he was a free agent. I 100% understand on Anthony Davis' part, the only way you could get a max deal at the same number you were going to get with New Orleans is by making the trade in that last season, and then they could pay you a little bit more because that's your team. I understand it from the Anthony Davis standpoint, but for the Los Angeles Lakers, if he says he's going to go to the Lakers, there's no need to make that trade when you did.
Okay, that trade happened, though, and I'm asking you, don't you think that trade happened a little bit because – Paul George said the same thing. I'm going to go to the Lakers. The Thunder swooped in, traded for him, and then signed Paul George. And then I think if you're the Lakers looking at that and thinking, like, we can't let this happen again, like, let's just go ahead. Another team might make an offer. They might, court him. He might enjoy it there, and he might resign there. We can't afford to miss out on another guy when LeBron is breathing down our neck and telling us we got to do something. So I think that was a big reason why they went after the Anthony Davis trade.
I 100% agree with you. It's similar to what we said on Tuesday about the Nets trading Kyrie was a byproduct of what happened with KD in Oklahoma City, where they got nothing. Your guys got nothing for him just walking out on the team. So I think, I agree with you that it was kind of a byproduct of what happened with Paul George going to the Clippers, and that whole situation led to the Lakers pushing and making the trade a lot earlier than I thought they should have. But also, speaking of the Clippers,
okay. On the Lakers, D'Angelo Russell, how do you feel about D'Angelo Russell? Because I've actually kind of been a supporter of him for the most part. He's a good player, but there's some issues with D'Angelo Russell. Like he's bounced around from team to team. Chemistry guy. He ain't a chemistry guy. Carl Anthony Towns pushed for D'Angelo Russell. Like, this is my best friend. We're going to play together. We're going to be great. And then from what I was listening to yesterday, Carl Anthony Towns and D'Angelo Russell aren't really friends anymore. There's some issues between them. D'Angelo Russell, he didn't play long in Golden State, but he didn't fit into a Warriors culture, which is a very established culture. And he didn't really fit there too well. Now he's going to the Lakers. I'm sure the talk will be like, oh, well, LeBron will get him in line. It'll be great until D'Angelo Russell makes some boneheaded play and LeBron is passively aggressively tweeted him as well. I think the theory of D'Angelo Russell and what he brings to the table is a lot better than the actual reality of D'Angelo Russell.
Yeah. I think the reality is that he's always kind of been an issue as far as his personality not meshing well with other people. He got bumped from the Lakers mainly because he was a very
snitch.
Yeah, he's snitch. Bitch, killing like yeah, he was a straight up snitch. He ruined the marriage of Swaggy P and Iggy Azalea. So yeah, D'Lo had to go, and Magic Johnson made that move to get him out of there. But on the court, I was always a fan of D'Lo for the Lakers. I felt like that was kind of him at his best potential up until he went to Brooklyn, and then that was him at like his highest ceiling, where he was kind of like he could be a facilitator, he could be a shot creator, and he was great for the Brooklyn Nets that one season. Going to the Golden State Warriors at the time he did, when they were dealing with all their injuries coming off of, you know, coming out of their dynasty and everything like that, that was a weird situation. So I can't really say, you know, oh, he didn't blend in well with the Warriors culture, when all the guys who create that culture were pretty much not there outside of Draymond Green. So I can't put that all on D'Angelo for not working. But Minnesota, that's a different situation. It hasn't panned out the way I thought it would pan out for him in Minnesota. I thought I pretty much heard all the rumors before he went to Minnesota that him, Kat were trying to get Booker because they were all friends. They had this good relationship. And now to come out of this, that
you know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
They're not friends anymore, and there was a rift in that situation. So, yeah, I think that D'Lo has been overall inconsistent for his career. But I think with LeBron James, and he can be just, you know, a shooter on the outside getting open looks because LeBron's going to get doubled, AD's going to get covered. He could take some of the ball handling responsibilities away from LeBron James, which has always been the Lakers were most successful when we had a secondary ball handler in Rajon Rondo with LeBron James on this team. That's when the Lakers have always been at the best, even in 2019, his first season before he went down with the injury after Christmas. We played very well. We were the fourth seed in the West because he would give off the ball handling responsibility to Alonzo that season. So I think the Lakers at his best with LeBron James has been having shooters around him, one, and two, having an additional ball handler, and then three, having help in the front court for Anthony Davis. It can't just be Anthony Davis playing the five and being a guy who plays big minutes, because that doesn't pan out well for him, and he usually gets injured. And now we have a lot of help in the front court with Vanderbilt, with Mo Bamba. I think this team is very well laid out to make a run for at least a play-in spot, or maybe even a lower-tier playoff spot if we could really get on a streak here. I'm very confident with the Lakers. And like I said, outside of KD going to the Suns are the big winner of the trade deadline. I think the Lakers are second place because addition by subtraction, but then we added a lot to that addition as well.
Yeah, I think the Lakers roster is more balanced. I would say they were the second winner behind Phoenix as well. The Clippers, we'll talk about them in a second. They did a lot of nice moves too, and I think they might do more. Money Mark says
we don't disagree on that one, folks.
What, that the Clippers?
I think Clippers is one of the big losers of the trade.
Okay. All right. We'll talk about that here in a second. Money Mark says maybe Towns is the problem. And Phil also says, I think Jimmy Butler is right about Towns, but the question's D'Lo. Yeah. And I was going to say that, like, hey, look, Towns might have his own issues. Towns, I mean, when he was not dealing with a lot of personal stuff, you know, Jimmy Butler went at him. Towns has had, like, personally a rough couple of years. And yeah. I don't know where he's at, like, with everything right now. And I'm not even gonna, like, touch on that. So maybe there is some stuff with Towns. I just know he's had a tough couple of years personally. And, you know, it's a shame that D'Angelo Russell and him, whatever happened there. I don't even know how big it is. Again, this is just what I heard on the radio yesterday. And I wish I could remember who even said that, but apparently there was some type of rift between them. Yeah, look, Towns might have his own stuff that is going on even before all the personal stuff that has started happening to him. But there's also plenty of questions about D'Angelo Russell as well. I think, you know, there can sometimes be two problems with this. All right, the Clippers. You don't like what the Clippers did?
No, because the Clippers came in on the trade deadline looking to secure a point guard, and all they did was trade all their point guards.
They're going to get a point guard.
All they did was trade all their point guards. And I know they're the favorite in the buyout market to get someone like a Russell Westbrook coming to that team, which
no.
Good
no
luck.
SP3.
Good luck
no
on SP3. That. Who do you think? Who do you think?
SP3, they are not the favorite to get someone like Russell Westbrook. They're not. They are 100% going to get Russell Westbrook. That is the guarantee. Mark it down, stamp it down next week on this show or whenever. I'll go on my Jeremy is right rant, like SP3.
You can if they do. I know, but I think they're the favorite to get Russell Westbrook. But as far as the trade deadline, that's all we are judging here. I think they're one of the big losers. They're one of the big losers out of the people that actually made moves, because I think they got guys that are not going to really fit in with what they're doing. Like, they wanted to get, you know, a big man, and they wanted to get a point guard. They did not get a point guard. They traded away Reggie Jackson. They traded away John Wall. They got Bones Highland, who's proven that he's not really a point guard. He's more of a small, undersized two, and he doesn't play any defense, so that doesn't really fit in well with what they do. They got Eric Gordon, who...
He's still good,
but does he really help them that much? I don't think the assets that they got... They are in a good place, or in a better place than where they already were. I think they're one of the biggest losers out of the teams that actually made moves. And a lot of people are very confused with a lot of the moves that the Clippers made.
I disagree. I think what they did was great. They got Eric Gordon, add more scoring depth, add another veteran guy who can do a little bit of everything on that team. I really like that move. They got Bones Highland. Like, yeah, the defense is going to be an issue. The hope you would hope that, and this is why I assume they take a risk on him. Like, they didn't give up much for him. A couple of seconds. Like, that, this is a young guy who is very raw, but still very talented, can get you points in a hurry. And you just hope that the system kind of hides some of his deficiencies defensively. Cause the Nuggets, they weren't a great defensive team. I think they were middle of the pack defensively. The Clippers, they're more at the top of the list when it comes to defense. So you just hope, like, the system kind of hides some of those deficiencies a little bit. They got Mason Plumlee. They got their big. They got a front court big in Mason Plumlee. Like, is he great? There wasn't too many great options out there. But Mason Plumlee comes in there and gets you some minutes.
I would have preferred for them to get Jakob Poeltl.
Well, maybe they tried to get Jakob Poeltl and they just, it wasn't there. They didn't want to give up the assets to get Jakob Poeltl. I think Mason Plumlee's fine. Like, he's fine to come in and give you 10 to 12 minutes a game. That's all they're looking for. They got Zubac as the starter. They don't need anything big there. And they're going to get Russell Westbrook. That is why they traded Reggie Jackson. That is why they traded John Wall. They're going to get Russell Westbrook because players outside of LeBron James still like Russell Westbrook. Paul George, still good friends with Russell Westbrook. Kawhi seems to like Westbrook. They traded Jackson, so they don't have to worry about any type of deal with those two, because I don't think Reggie and Russ still like each other because of all that history.
You said it was only LeBron. I think there's a couple of people. KD, y'all.
KD,
y'all,
never y'all, fine.
Y'all have short term memory. Oh, they fine now. They fine
they're okay.
Now.
They're okay. I mean, would Durant play with him again? I don't know. I don't know if Russ wants to play with him again, but like, they're okay.
This is like the exact opposite of what you were telling me on Tuesday. Like, I love how y'all switch up. Y'all,
what did I say on Tuesday? Yes, I don't remember. Tuesday. No, SG3, I don't remember what I had for breakfast. Much less what I said on Tuesday.
He would never play with Russell Westbrook, and now they're okay. They're okay. Literally, that was my argument, that absence makes the heart grow fonder.
I don't think they were playing together.
I literally tried to say I was wrong. A third thing I was right and you were wrong about on Tuesday.
I really don't think they would play together. I really don't think they would play together. I don't think Durant wants. I don't know if Westbrook wants to do it either, but I think they're civil. I think Reggie Jackson.
I don't agree with Money Mark a lot in the chat, but Money Mark is on to something. I think Miami is an underrated.
I don't think. No. Here's the thing. Here's the thing.
You get Russ.
No. Here's why the Clippers, assuming the Clippers want Westbrook, because that's really the biggest thing here, is assuming the Clippers want Westbrook, he's going to LA. And there's two reasons for this. One, he doesn't have to move. He stay in LA, all his family's still there, same arena, nothing has to change. Two, and Phil said it, and this is what I'm thinking as well, the Russ Revenge Tour, baby. Him and the Clippers, and this is either going to be the most spectacular moment in NBA history when Russ just completely goes on a tear, and he's MVP Russ playing with Kawhi and Paul George and a good team around him. They got shooters. They got a big like Zubac that he likes. He does very well with the pick and roll with a traditional big, somebody like Zubac, much like he did with Steven Adams, or it's going to go down in complete flames. And I don't care either way, because I don't care if the Clippers fail or succeed. I'm here for the ride when it comes to the Clippers. This is what I want. I want the Russ Revenge Tour. It's going to happen. 100%. Mark it down.
Can't wait for the flame out and the excuse train from you and Phil.
What's the excuse train? How am I going? What excuse am I going to be making?
When they flame out.
Why do I care? Out. My excuse is going to be like, well, this was a possibility. I'm not going to make any excuse. This is all, it's going to be it's a very big possibility that Russ tries to do too much. And angry Russ is both good and bad, because when he plays angry, sometimes he plays really well. And other times he doesn't play very well. And he's going to be very angry as a member of the Clippers. It's going to be fascinating to watch. Absolutely fascinating. It's going to happen. He's going to go to LA, assuming LA wants him, and I think they do.
I was very confident going into this podcast that, yeah, the Clippers would probably get Russell Westbrook. But how adamant you are that they are is making me wish that they don't. I'm hoping for Miami Heat.
Why Miami?
Let him go to Miami Heat.
Why?
Because it
why are you afraid of him? Why don't you want him on the Clippers? Are you afraid of Russell Westbrook?
I'm not afraid of Russell Westbrook.
You seem like you're a little afraid of him. No, I want him to go to Miami.
Literally, do y'all have selective hearing?
No,
do y'all not listen to me? Do y'all not listen? I literally said I was very confident in the Clippers landing.
Yeah, but now that I'm adamant and I'm telling you about
just how happy y'all are about it.
SP3 fears Russ and the Clips.
I feel the Clippers. The Clippers. The chokers.
It seems like
the choke Clips. The choke Clips, who are never going to win a championship. Kawhi Leonard did that whole commercial saying he's going to be the king of LA. No one even talks about the Clippers anymore. We're losing. We have a worse record than the Clippers, and they still talk about the Lakers more than them. We're still the kings of LA. What are we talking about here?
It seems like you're a little
Phil Lindsay fears apologies. We've already established that in this episode. Jeremy fears the fact that I'm always right. We have established these facts in this week.
That's not true. I've sent Phil this link, by the way. See if Phil comes on to tell you that you do fear the Clippers. I like what the Clippers
I only want to see Phil if he's ready to apologize. Instead of doing his whataboutism. Oh, you were still wrong about the trade. No, but I was right about KD. They're not salvaging that relationship. And y'all told me I was wrong. What are we doing here? What are we doing?
I think the Clippers had a good deadline.
I don't. I think they had the out of all the teams that made deals, this is the most important season of the Clippers, of the Clippers' whole franchise, and they did not make the move that they needed to. We could talk about all the hypotheticals or all the possibilities.
Okay, if they get Russ,
but just basing it on the trade deadline, they had the worst trade deadline because they did not accomplish what they need to accomplish, and they actually got lesser of the thing of the position that they needed the most.
Because they're going to get Russell Westbrook.
And of course, no one's going to talk about the fact that that whole John Wall, everybody was so excited for them to get John Wall.
Yeah, that was never going to work.
And that flamed out.
Yeah. I was out on the John Wall thing. People were talking like John Wall is going to be like prime John Wall. It's like, we haven't seen this dude play basketball in 2 years. I don't know how this John Wall thing is going to work. And it didn't. And I was out on that. You can go check the tapes on that. I was out on that one. Very, very early, and it didn't work. All right, Phil Lindsay is here. Hold on. How are you?
I'm good. I just said watch SB3 say I fear admitting that when you're right. I do admit when you're right, but you're seriously sitting on this show. Wait a minute. You're seriously sitting on this show and telling Jeremy that the Clippers had the worst trade deadline when the Warriors got Gary Payton Jr. back for trade picks. Are you serious?
That was a bad trade. That was a bad trade.
All they had to do was re-sign him over the offseason.
That was a bad trade. But they only did that because Steph is injured.
But they were better off keeping Sadiq Bey over getting Gary Payton. I think Sadiq Bey is better than Gary Payton.
I understand why they brought Gary Payton back. But just sign him back. Just give him the money that he was asking for. Don't let him go somewhere else, get the money, and then give up picks for him. That doesn't make any sense. And then they didn't make any other moves.
I don't think the Warriors had a good trade deadline.
That's why I'm like, no. You can't sit here and tell me the Clippers had the worst. No. The Clippers actually. The Clippers made good moves, man.
He fears the Clippers. Clearly, he fears the Clippers and Russell Westbrook.
The Clippers made good moves, man. I think you just don't want to admit it. That's all.
They didn't. They did. They got. I've already made the point. The position that they needed the most, they did not address. And we could talk about the hyperboles and the hypotheticals of them signing Russell Westbrook, but we are just basing it on the trade deadline.
Mark my word.
Of the position that they needed.
But here's the other thing, though. They're in a better position than the Lakers, so they needed to do less. So, I don't know.
That doesn't negate the fact of what I just said.
But you just told us that they had the worst trade deadline, which is totally not true at all.
I do think that.
No. Warriors definitely had a worst trade deadline. Miami Heat had a worst trade
deadline.
Miami
had a terrible deadline.
What do you mean?
Not doing anything is a bad deadline.
No. I literally said, I specified with the Clippers. Out of the teams that made deals, in my opinion, the Clippers had the worst trade deadline.
The Warriors made deals. The Warriors had a worst deadline.
Not as far as the teams that didn't make deals. Miami is up there. The Bulls are up there. There's a couple
of teams. At least the Clippers played. The only team
that I think that didn't make a deal that actually had a good trade deadline was the Cleveland Cavaliers. That's the only team.
Yeah.
The Cavs didn't make any deals.
But they didn't really need to because they're
no. I agree.
Young.
The Cavs were smart and just hey, let's roll with it. I think the Knicks had an underrated deadline. I like Josh Hart.
Josh Hart is a good pickup. Josh Hart is a good pickup.
Yeah, on this whole you were right thing, by the way. I love the way that you've tried to spin the block and then spin this narrative out of this. When my point to you was never that you were wrong about KD wanted to be traded, by the way. My point was that the Nets were trying to salvage it. Whether they could or couldn't was never the point. It's what they were trying to do. They were clearly trying to salvage it. They clearly thought they were going to be able to keep Durant, or they wouldn't have made the trades that they made before that. That's all this was, man. And that's why I'm like, no, if they were trying to salvage this, they were not going to bring in Russell Westbrook. And second of all, that Lakers trade was not a better trade than the Dallas trade. It was not.
I'm still waiting for the apology.
I'm not giving you an apology because you weren't right. You weren't right.
You said you were trying to salvage anything, and I was like, they're not going to salvage anything. That was
But this isn't. But this isn't. This is you wanting.
Try to be 7 feet tall. I'm not going to do it.
Here, I'll give you this then. You were right about them not being able to keep him, but. You weren't right about my argument about why the trade was wrong. You weren't right about that at all.
We highlight Dolores. Dolores is right. Thank you, Dolores. Somebody in the chat, thank you. I want to thank Pat. Pat on Twitter, he already started the hashtag. SP3 was right. Thank you.
Nah, you're late to this boat as well. The Phil is right hashtag has existed long before this. And again, like
we're
I said,
we're talking about basketball.
But again, you're not right about the trade. You're not right about the trade in itself, though. You're not right about the trade in itself because it wasn't a better trade than Dallas' trade. And second of all, you're talking a good game now, but you didn't really want Kyrie Irving, and you know it. You did not want Kyrie Irving.
No, he definitely wanted Kyrie Irving.
Yes, he did. Yeah.
You wanted him now, but a year from now, you'd be talking about him just like y'all talking about Westbrook. Y'all been ready to ship him out of here too. And no. I'm not trying to hear this, man.
See, this is what I said before. This is another thing you fear. You fear the fact that I'm a Lakers fan and not a LeBron James fan, because all of your stuff that you say against me, it pitches me into the LeBron James factor, because you are the number one LeBron James hater in all of this media game. You want to make me a LeBron fan when I literally just gave Russell Westbrook credit on this show. I literally said LeBron pushed for the trade. I literally said that LeBron switched up on him, but you want to negate all of that and I've been against Russell Westbrook when Jeremy Lambert can specify for you. I was the person who was late in the bandwagon for Russell Westbrook being a sixth man of the year this season. I have not said a bad word about Russell Westbrook this season. I said bad words about him last season because it didn't work last season. That whole thing didn't work. But this season, I've been one of Russell's biggest supporters, so I don't know this y'all talking about. You want to picture me?
I mean, Lakers fans.
Lakers fans just are following in LeBron's lead. LeBron's
but that's my point.
But that's not my point. You need to specify.
Now you're trying to separate yourself from other Lakers fans too?
No. Y'all
are for SP3. That's all I meant by y'all. I didn't say you were a LeBron fan. I just said that. By y'all, Lakers fans have been really hard on Russ, man. And I feel like Lakers fans have made this out to be only his fault. And it's not. It's not only his fault, man.
I will defend SP3 here in saying he's been very kind to Russ this season. He has been hard on LeBron. When I've brought up like the Russ stuff, he has said, like, well, LeBron pushed for this. This is something that LeBron, you know, was going after. He's put a lot of blame on LeBron for the moves that
he deserves a lot of blame. He deserves a lot of blame on floor for why Russ didn't work as well, but people won't say that.
I agree with that too. Yes, because I don't think LeBron sacrificed nearly enough as he needed to. But the fit was never going to work. That was something LeBron clearly didn't understand, but the fit was never going to work.
No, it wasn't
going
to work. But
I will defend SP3 on he is very much more Lakers fan than LeBron fan, and there is a separation there.
Of course, but look. The reason why I kept saying timeout is because I don't blame you of anything when it comes to LeBron. You are the one that tries to bring up every time I make a point about this guy. Well, you just hate him. That doesn't make my point about him wrong, though.
It pops me that you are a big LeBron hater, and I think it's
gonna it's just like it, but the thing is, a lot of things I've said about him this season were right.
I mean, yeah, I'm not saying you're wrong on LeBron. I just find your hate of LeBron hilarious.
I don't like the guy, but also I do think that his position right now is a lot of it is his fault, and I think some of the moaning he's doing about it is kind of lame, and I don't think people are criticizing him like they should for creating a bad situation there and then basically throwing a tantrum when it didn't work.
We criticize him. I'm saying a lot of people.
I'm not saying you guys. I just think a lot of people don't. Like, and I mean, man, I sat here when this started. You go, all the analysts think that this was the right trade for LA. Listen to what Windhorst. You're going to quote Windhorst to me, the number one LeBron whisperer? Like, of course Windhorst is rooting for this trade to go LeBron's way because he's in LeBron's corner.
I didn't hear any analysts say that they should have taken the Lakers trade. And I listened to a lot of basketball stuff yesterday.
They need more big threes. They need more big threes. And we could have been waking up to a big three in LA. That is the thing.
I think you guys dodged the bullet.
Stephen A. Smith agreed with Brian Windhorst on that clip.
All right. Well, that's, I didn't listen to
But Stephen A.'s batting average is spotty. I think you guys
not as much in basketball, football, and all the other sports.
It's spotty in basketball too. I think you guys dodged a bullet. I think you guys ended up in a better situation with D'Lo than you would have with Kyrie. I think you guys definitely dodged a bullet. So I don't even understand why you guys are still harping on the Kyrie thing, because I don't think that Kyrie would have fixed the problems in LA at all.
He would have.
I agree with Phil on that. Is like Kyrie, you're replacing Russ with Kyrie, which Kyrie's a better player than Russell Westbrook. He can play alongside LeBron James. It's better of a fit when it comes to this. You guys won the title, the goofy championship with LeBron and AD as the engine, and then the right pieces around them. That's how you guys won, right? Am I wrong? Yeah. Like that's how you guys won. Now that's what it is again. LeBron and AD running the show, and then the right pieces around them. Kyrie is just replacing one star with another star with a very specialized skill set. And Kyrie's very good at that skill set, but it's better. They got more in the sum than they did if they had just gotten Kyrie out of this show.
I won't never deny that we came out better than we would have went in. No, you haven't said. I apologize, SP3, for being wrong.
No, I just sat here and said that you guys are in a better position without Kyrie.
And then when Jeremy says SP3 has never been on this whole Russell Westbrook thing, you just gloss over it. Yeah, that may be the case, but he deserves all this blame. Like, you just want to go back to your LeBron hater crutch. That's your crutch.
But you just completely glossed over what I said. I said, yo, you guys are in a better position right now without Kyrie. And then when Jeremy said it, you're like, yeah, you're right, but that was what I said. It's great what I said.
Jeremy said it in a much articulate way and has no LeBron hate to back it up.
Man, listen, they're in a better position. They got better pieces along with D'Lo. I think they're in a better spot. If they would have made that Kyrie trade, I think they would have had some of the same problems. And if you really look at those guys next to each other, yeah, Kyrie's a better player than Westbrook. But when you look at the things that Kyrie does better than Westbrook, he shoots better than him. He's a better finisher. He's a better ball handler. But no, Russ is a better defender than him. He's a better rebounder than him. And he's a better passer than him. So
we don't need rebounding, but
passing. But I know, but I'm just saying that I don't know. For the pluses that you get for Kyrie, I don't think it was worth it.
I think it was because my family and my team have been separated far too long. And I've been trying to bring – I'm just trying to have a family reunion, and y'all are denying my family being with my favorite team.
I think Kyrie didn't fix issues there. I think you know it. You just don't want to say it.
I think he would have. I think we would have been fine either way, but I'm happy with what the Lakers turned out. I'm happy being the second biggest winner of the trade deadline and in a much better position than what we
and
were.
Still the 13th seed. Congratulations.
What we were a week ago. Talk to us in another 2 weeks. Talk to us in another 2 weeks when we're a 10 seed. We're in the last place in the play-in. Talk to us.
All right, I'm gonna try to help you out here, SP3. Phil, can you admit that SP3 was right and that the Durant situation was not salvageable after Kyrie?
But I said that. I said that you were right about that part, but I said afterwards that you were still wrong.
Why can't we just full stop?
Because I'm explaining what I said. I'm not changing the conversation. I'm explaining what I said. What I said was you were right about them not being able to salvage it, but you weren't correct about the trade in itself. The trade was still not a good trade.
These are two separate factors that I'm trying to specify here. It's SP3 was right that this net situation was never salvageable, that KD was never going to stay without Kyrie. Full stop. Then you could say, however, that starts a whole new sentence. That's all I'm asking for. We don't need a full run-on sentence with the comma at the end with the but. I don't need a but on the sentence. Just full
wait a
stop.
Minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Listen, I write for a living, sir. But and however serve the same purpose, sir.
Exactly.
It is
but I just
they serve the
stop.
Same purpose.
He just wants the end of the sentence, Phil. He just wants the period there instead of the comma. That's all.
Yeah, nah. Listen, like I said, you were right about them not being able to salvage it. But like I said, the trade was still bad. It wasn't a good trade.
That rules.
The trade wasn't going to work. It wasn't.
Please someone clip Phil just saying, I write for a living, sir.
I do too. We all do here. We all do. We all write for a living here. That's why I'm asking for the full stop. Like this is the circle. Full stop. That's all I want.
Phil, what do you the Bulls, Phil? What are we doing here? They're apparently in the Westbrook market as well, which I don't think is I think it's the Billy Donovan connection, which
they're really not in the market for him. They're just saying
stuff. I agree.
They're not gonna make a move for Westbrook. I don't buy that for a second. Everybody that was like messaging me yesterday or tagging me and things and going, "Oh man, it's tough being a Bulls fan. They didn't make no moves." I'm like, "Yo, that's because you guys haven't been a Bulls fan as long as I have. Because if you've been a Bulls fan as long as I have, you weren't expecting a move yesterday. I didn't expect them to do nothing. And they did exactly what I thought they were going to do. They went the entire trade deadline. And after the trade deadline, that report came out that LaVine's not getting along with Donovan. And I'm like, all right, well, you know how you could have fixed that? Trade him. I don't know. And I don't know if that's true or not, but we keep hearing these things about LaVine. I don't know what it means. I don't know if this is the clutch sport influence, because he hasn't been odd since he signed with them.
We could have gave you that 2027. We could have gave you that high schooler and a sixth grader, and we would have took Zach off your hands.
I don't know what the deal is with that, but I do think that they've got to make a decision with this, because it feels like Zach still wants this to be his team, and he hasn't realized it's not his team anymore. It's DeRozan's team. DeRozan is the best player on the team, and I think when LaVine is motivated and he's consistent, he's good. But I know, man, you got to make a move because this ain't working.
Would you keep LaVine? I think LaVine feels like a guy of another one of those guys that seems like he's better in theory than reality. Because I like LaVine's skill set, but for some reason, just like it hasn't fully translated on court. Would you try to trade him this offseason?
I would keep LaVine if you knew you had a plan for the playmaker situation. You need to figure out what's going on with Lonzo at this point. If Lonzo's not going to be ready anytime soon, you've got to make a move. And if the move to get a playmaker here includes trading LaVine, I'd make that move. Because to me, if you get a playmaker here and you can run pick and roll with any serviceable point guard and Vucevic, that's still a better situation than what we have right now.
All I will say is that the Bulls may get themselves into a better position in the playoffs, because I expect this Brooklyn Nets dive the rest of the season to go. They're diving down the standings.
Well, the Nets got a lot of like.
The Nets are better than you think they are.
Yeah, the Nets also they built up a good enough record to where I think they got a lot of prideful guys that are like going to go out there and compete too.
I think Spencer Dinwiddie, he's going to ball out. I think he's
going to. Mikal Bridges is going to ball out.
Mikal Bridges, they still got Cam Thompson. They just got Cam Johnson.
They have an unbalanced roster. They have too many wings.
No, but this isn't a roster to do anything now. This is a roster to try and salvage and make some moves over the offseason. They're not going to do anything big this year. No, I think that ship has sailed. But I don't think that they're in the dire straits that you would think they are. I think that they can still add some pieces here and be in the mix next year.
I think they're good enough to still make a playoff spot this year, because they've built up such a good record with Kyrie and KD that like it would take a kind of a big collapse. Not a lot of times. And who in the East below them is like, oh yeah, this team is catching. I don't put any faith in the Bulls to do this. Who else is out? The Magic ain't making a run. The Hornets ain't making a run. Like,
no, they're done.
Which team is going after
the Raptors? The Raptors didn't sell, so they're gonna make a run.
I mean, the Raptors—they're trying to make a run. Like, that's why they went out and got Poeltl. Like, they are trying to make a run. But you know, Miami, the Knicks, I actually think improved. The Hawks, I don't put much faith in the Hawks to do.
Hawks
anything.
Are done. This is a two-team conference right now. Right now, it looks like what is it? It's going to be between the Celtics and the Bucks. Everybody else beneath them, I have no faith in them. I have no faith in Philadelphia, because I will never believe in James Harden again. It's just not going to happen. You're not going to win with James Harden. I just don't believe it.
I do like what the Sixers did. They traded Tyball. They got McDaniels. Like, I like McDaniel. He's a good defender, much like Tyball, but he can actually score. So I like that deal. for them. I'm with you on like, you know, trusting Harden, trusting Doc.
Nah.
See how that works.
It's too shaky with Harden and Doc to have faith in them. But I think they can surprise some people because of Joel Embiid. I that's the only person I'm confident in on that team. But
who are they going to surprise though?
I think you got to beat Milwaukee.
I think if the Bucks ain't healthy, then yeah, I don't know. I don't know how that would.
If they got Giannis, if they got Giannis and Drew, I mean Middleton would obviously be big for them. But if they got Giannis and Drew, man, I still think that's enough to beat Philadelphia.
Yeah,
Giannis is on a different level right now.
Yeah, I think Crowder was a big pickup for them too.
Crowder was big. Yeah, Ingles getting healthy is big, though. They got good just, like, connective guys on that team. It's like, oh, Ingles knocked down a couple of threes. Crowder knocked down a couple of threes. Lopez, like, they're good defensively. Obviously, Middleton having him help. They still took Boston to 7 without Middleton last year. Like, I ain't doubting Giannis. That dude he's on a different level.
I mean, my Eastern Conference Finals prediction, I've stayed pat with that, is Celtics and Bucks. I've said that since the beginning of the season.
Yeah, my Sixers in the Finals prediction ain't looking too good.
Nope.
No.
Nope. I tried telling you that when you made the prediction.
I was trying to go off base with Nuggets and Sixers, and the Nuggets, hey, I mean,
they look good.
I was looking real good until Phoenix decided to get Kevin Durant, but you know,
I got one out of two right, it seems, with the Bucks, but the Warriors, man, it ain't looking too good.
I was trying to switch it up a little bit. All right, I actually do have to run. I'm on vacation mode, but yes. I had to talk some hoops. Phil, thanks for joining us, buddy. Go ahead and plug anything if you'd like to plug anything.
Got Grapsody tomorrow at noon Eastern on Fightful's YouTube channel. But I haven't really anything else to plug, honestly.
Phil is a writer, sir. Go check out his writing.
Yeah, you can find my writing at Bleacher Report. I still think the funniest thing about this entire thing is that Russ possibly staying in LA could end up being one of the most entertaining storylines coming out of this. And
so excited.
Regardless if the Clippers win anything, regardless what happens out of this, this is going to be a blast to watch, because now, again, like if you want to keep the LA rivalry of the Lakers and Clippers going, you just handed the guy that you just kicked out of town and caught a vampire, which is, I still think is nasty. He's going to be standing across the street now. He's not going anywhere. He's just like, he just went next door.
Just move next door, across the hall, come in and out as you please. They don't lock the doors around there.
It's an apartment building. Yeah. Next door.
I think that is one of the underrated storylines coming out of this. And, man, if we possibly see Clippers Lakers somewhere down the line, it's going to be a blast to watch.
Well,
I'm sure we will when the Clippers lose in like the playoffs again.
Clippers for our fourth seed, man. They got
they're in the playoffs again.
They've got more to gain.
I doubt they can beat Mavericks. So.
I mean, they're going to lose, but I like their chances of remaining in the top eight more than the Lakers jumping into the top eight.
Watch when the Lakers jump into the top eight. I'll be here on FMC.
They'll be a playing game.
I think they'll be a playing game.
Can't wait. Right. Ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you for joining us, Phil. We appreciate it. Phil's always in the chat talking basketball with us, and I told him his round. I like your Bulls hat. That's a sweet hat. Thanks, Phil. Appreciate you, buddy. Have a good weekend. Have a good Friday.
Use periods, Phil.
All right, SV3. Any final points you would like to make on the trade deadline?
I just want to say congratulations and praise be Rob Pelinka. Rob Pelinka, thank you so much. I will never say a bad word about you. You were an excellent agent for the greatest player, in my opinion, of all time, Kobe Bean Bryant. You have been a great GM for the greatest franchise in NBA history, the Los Angeles Lakers, and I appreciate you. You can see my writing at RussellTalk.com. You can see me tomorrow, True Hill Heat 212, with myself, Miss Chrissy Love, and Mex of Wrestle Things Podcast as our special guest, True Hill Heat YouTube channel at 11:05 a.m. Eastern Time tomorrow. And respect be. Praise be, Rob Pelinka.
This is Cody, everybody, named after the great American liberator, Cody Rhodes. You want to say hi?
Hey, Cody.
Jump down. Trying such to attack cutie. My food. Yes, trying to attack my food. Thank you, everybody, for joining us today on this special trade deadline episode of FMC. Appreciate you doing this, SP3. I know we're both very excited to do this after the Durant trade, and even before the Durant trade, but I did not expect we'd have this much to talk about with everything that happened in the trade deadline yesterday. It's going to be a fun last month and a half of the season after all of these trades. I look forward to it. We'll be here every single week on FMC. It's usually Tuesdays. We are on Tuesdays at 8:30. We talk about basketball, reality television. We've made a documentary. Not like we didn't make it, but we've been featured in a documentary.
We'll talk more about that next episode.
Yeah, sure. We'll talk about that next episode. We talk about reality TV. We talk about things that I don't want to say because I'll get in trouble.
I got Kaden in the chat during my wrestling podcast asking my co-host if he likes to suck toes. Like, come on. This is the stuff that we talk about now.
It's terrible. Kaden says he has a big announcement on Tuesday. Jeremy is going to be very happy. Well, I don't know if you're going to be on the show on Tuesday, so cool.
And remember, folks, you could clip anything from this episode. There was a lot of good clips. Cut my promo at the beginning of the show.
Yeah, Kaden, do some work for once in your life.
Clip stuff, put it on social media. You could tag us. As you see, I know how to clip stuff now. I know how to screen record. So if I'm right about something else from this show, don't worry, folks. You'll see it on my social media at Drew Hill SP3.
Guys, we appreciate you joining us here on this special. Can I call your boss and tell her to let you leave work? Yeah, send me the number. I'll call and say, hey, let Mike off work early. I don't care. All right. Like, DM it to me or something. You want me to do it on air? If you DM it to me right now, I'll do it on air. You got to hurry up, though.
What are we doing?
I don't know. What do we ever do on FMC? It's the dumbest show in the world.
Nonsense. It's always nonsense on the show, but you got to love it. We'll also be talking about you, probably, if I'm able to watch it. If my missus doesn't go to sleep on me.
I watched the first three episodes. I'll watch the next two tonight, but I've watched.
And you need to watch the South Park episode. Oh my God.
Yes, I do need to watch that. I will watch that tonight as well. I got the weekend free. I'm vacation, Jeremy. So I'm watching you. I'll watch some South Park, watching a lot of basketball and some hockey and stuff. So yeah, catching up on a lot of stuff and miss my family though.
Hey, family.
All right, buddy. Thank you guys for joining us. Thank you, everybody. Thank you to Phil Lindsay for running in, hanging out, yelling at SP3, being a writer. Guys, keep supporting what we're doing here on Fightful Overbooked. We got a lot of cool stuff, a lot of interviews. We're trying to cover a little bit of everything. We appreciate you guys. Thank you, guys. Catch everyone on Tuesday. Bye, everybody.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.